Alrighty, now we're moving to the archives report.
If any way, can we stand up and take a stretch for a second? Anybody falls asleep while I'm talking, I'm going to be so funny. I don't think anybody can disagree with the fact that the Pacific Radio Archives is probably one of the most significant things about Pacifica other than its programming. Because the archives represents its programming. As of Monday, when Rosa Parks died, and I probably even mentioned her name, we found that I knew of this. Pacifica Radio Archives holds the very first interview with Rosa Parks only 4 months after her act of civil disobedience. Because somebody had the foresight to preserve, save, and put away that tape in 1956, not knowing that Ms. Parks would become an icon of the civil rights movement, it's a bloody miracle that not only do we have the recording, but that we knew about it, that it's cataloged, that it was digitized, preserved. It was on the audio board the day that she passed away. Democracy Now! Broadcast it the day afterwards. As of yesterday, Radio France International has licensed to broadcast it in its entirety. And Sacramento Bee will be printing the entire transcript of the interview.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
We need an applause.
I haven't negotiated it with yet. I actually have not negotiated it with the Radio France International. Me, I'm going to give it to them and just have them give us credit.
Thank
you. That brings me to the first category, which is preservation. Along with Rosa Parks, which is not preserved as part of the grants, since April, when we did the cross-country tour, we took 240 tapes to Philadelphia for preservation. They've all been returned. They've all been copied with both preservation copies, duplication copies. Catalog descriptions have been updated. Many have been transcribed and put on the website at pacificaradioarchives.org. And we're really proud of the 240 recordings that we'll move forward with more. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, we finished another grant application to the Grammy Foundation that funds will pay for selection restoration, improved description, and access to another country restored real tape broadcast. Being written transcripts. And experts will recommend studio facility upgrades appropriate for archival audio assessment analysis and processing. What that means is we're going to get a guy to come in and tell us how can we build a studio within the space we already have that can give us the ability to do what they did in Philadelphia. It will also give us information and assessment when we go to the building campaign and move the archives to a larger space which is desperately needed. They will have the information to take to an architect and say, this is what we need to build. So I'm really looking forward to the Grammy Foundation's response in March. It also includes us just in the past month since our last meeting. I'm going to talk about those pictures in a minute. It's not working.
Who's that been?
Okay, so...
The grants. The National Endowment for the Arts and the Grammy Foundation, we completed the year grant process 2 months ago, and we're now working on the final reports of that grant, which means all those recordings have come back, they've been preserved, transcripts, all of that stuff. So the final reports are very important to the process of grants, of course. And also, we're in that's the finishing phase two of the Long-Term Preservation and Access Project. We're in the middle of Phase 3, which is funded by the Ford Foundation, UC Berkeley, Vietnam, era recordings, and, of course, most importantly, the listeners of Pacifica Radio who support us in our efforts every day, one day, only one, just the one day, on the air nationally for our Archives Fund Drive Day, which I'll tell you about as we finish that. I think what most exciting part of Phase 3 of our project is the digitization of our folios. We've collected from KPFA a sampling of every single folio from day one, which really was like 6 months after they started. And this information is incredibly important to the point where we're setting up now a database so we can scan what is on the folio and then have it searchable. Like a researcher can actually put in a keyword of a name, and it'll pop up on the folio to say what day, what time it was broadcast.
Wow.
And this is also a representation of not just the audio tape that we might have of a single day or a single year, but every moment of that broadcast. That's what the folios used to do. It also includes essays by famous people and unfamous people, infamous people. Pictures, artwork, original artwork. So it's very exciting that we're at the point where now we can scan them, sample 10 of them to get the process going, and then we... Where are you pointing?
I think that...
The camera wants me?
Oh, okay.
Forget about that.
That's not your good profile.
You don't want to see my best side. So the folios. We're sort of done with the folios. It's really going to be exciting. We probably should see that in the next 4 months, that we'll be able to see and search some folios. And they really are exciting to read. Some of the early ones about Lou Hill's articles about what it all meant, that doesn't talk about the prospectus. A year later, he has a review of that information. It's very exciting. All right, so now, the fun drive day. December 6, 2005. It's a Tuesday. We'll be on the air for, I think, 18 hours consecutively on all five stations simultaneously. The pictures that you've seen, which I hope somebody might be able to pick them up for the cameras. Doesn't matter, we're not on the air anyway. Those pictures are of Dustin Hoffman at WBAI December 2nd through December 6th, 1970. The other picture is of the daughter of Leo Tolstoy, Alexandra Tolstoy. She was 86 at the time. What we discovered in the archive was 180 reel-to-reel tapes of the entire reading, unabridged, of the first American translation of War and Peace on WBAI. It was a historic broadcast moment. It lasted for 5.5 days, only interrupted by Vietnam War reports and Russian musical interludes. I found the three original producers of that historic event. It is documented by the Museum of Radio and Television as the very first marathon of any kind in any media.
Wow.
Incredibly important. And so I have documents going from the very first memo that the person who had the idea sent to the general manager of WBAI to say, I have an idea. I have all the correspondence. I have all the pictures, as you've seen. And we've just sent a producer to interview a reunion for the first time in 25 years. These three people have gotten back together to help us with this fund drive and have actually supported and... sanctioned us taking this War and Peace event back on the air to say what it was like. So what will happen on December 6th? You'll hear a three-part documentary telling the story of the 5 days of reading War and Peace on the air in WBAI. New York was stopped. Book sales of War and Peace, you could not find the book in any bookstore in New York. I have the article. The sales of the book went up 50%. I have the article. So we're going to be doing a three-part documentary on telling the story of how this happened. I've contacted Dustin Hoffman, and he's agreed to an interview to talk to us about that experience.
Right.
180 readers is what it did. 180 readers got together, everybody from Mel Brooks and Bancroft, Dustin Hoffman, all the way down to the policeman, a Bronx high school student, the Philharmonic cellist, the architect of WBAI Studios, everybody's. I think on the third day of the broadcast, when the sort of the world perked up and said, do you hear what they're doing on WBAI? In the middle of the Vietnam War. Remember, it really was significant. Nobody had to pitch that the war was wrong. Tolstoy was telling them that the war was wrong. But what happened is that in New York City, there's articles that say people would walk by a deli that was usually noisy and clanky with conversation, and it was absolutely silent because the radio was playing. Incredibly moving to hear these readings. By the way, the CD that you have, some of you have some audio mix of this broadcast that we put it together. I transferred maybe 10 of them, a sampling. And not just the celebrities. I sampled some of the people I didn't know, just for the sake of the page that they were reading. It's an incredibly exciting event that I'm really proud of already, because it's just sort of coming together and the people are coming together with it. It also represents what Pacific is about. In the middle of wartime, they took time out for 5.5 days. By the way, the reason that management agreed to this was because they needed to give everybody a day off. So they gave them 4 days off. I think they were in union contracts. All right, so I don't need to tell the whole story. Let's move on. So December 6th, listen and support us. Outreach. programming. We've distributed programs, including the Rosa Parks interview, multiple times on audioport.org, which we're really excited about. Affiliate stations have been downloading. Up to 39 stations of our 70 or 80 affiliates have downloaded archival material for broadcast and premium use. The Archives has visited and participated in the Grassroots Radio Conference in New Hampshire. And also for the first time ever, I presented in New Orleans in August, only days before the hurricane, to the Society of American Archivists, the movie that you saw at the last meeting about our road trip. So the archivists are now recognizing the Pacifica Radio Archives to the level of being recognized by that organization. It was exciting. There were people in suits. And
was it rated R or?
No, it was fine. We had a nun in the audience, a sister who was an archivist for the Catholic Church, wow. Archdiocese. All right, so the affiliates. The last thing I want to say is that when we did our trip last time, we visited affiliate stations, and we visited KGNU and Paonia, Colorado, KVNF, and they invited us back. So we just got back just days ago before we came here. From Colorado, where KVNF paid the archive staff, members of the archive staff, to go back to Paonia to make a presentation to their membership and to their board of directors about the origins of community radio and how their station is actually facilitating what Lou Hill's mission was. So it was very exciting to go there on their expense and paying us a fee to show our film and to talk about what a little mining town in the middle of Colorado means to somebody like myself personally. That looks at the entire origins of community radio. So that's it for me, and I hope y'all have some questions. Oh, can I show a show of hands how many people read the archives report? All right, so the rest of you, you better.
Okay.
This is very thorough. First time that nobody's told me that I had to keep it to 2 pages, so you got 5.
We got this 2 days ago. Where in the
Oh, we're going to make you read the program.
Actually, it has its own section.
It's the first part of the number seven.
So it is fairly thorough, about the Democracy Now! Relationship with the archives. We completed the digitization project. It cost us $25,000 that was not in our budget to copy every Democracy Now! Program in the archive going back to 1996 and provide it to them via the Democracy Now! Contract. And it also talks about the affiliate relationship with the archives and how much we've served the affiliates and the affiliate program. And I've also commended in my report Ursula Rudenberg's commendable work in the archives program. And we're happy to continue collaboration with her and the affiliates. Okay, now questions.
Thanks. Okay, we only have 3 minutes for questions.
Oosh.
So we need to keep them brief and to the point. And if we're going to thank Brian for his work, which is tremendous, maybe we can do that. Another opportunity.
Help give him money.
You have to extend the time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Dave.
In 30 seconds, are you guys working out how to package the Tolstoy reading as a premium of some sort?
Yeah.
What's the plan? It seems so big. That
right. Amy Goodman has agreed to host the 3-part series documentary, and she's actually suggested when we transfer all 108 reels or 108 hours, $3,000 premium for the entire thing. We're doing an edited version. And then the documentary, the 3-part documentary, will be a premium, which tells the story, which will have mixes. We're having new readers come in and read the correspondence between all those memos and things, and producers. So that'll be included. So, and also call the publisher about the book. You know, reminded them that particular edition sold higher during the day. So we have books, and so we're sort of expanding and still developing the premium as the project develops.
William?
I just wanted to know, I'm really glad that Amy got all of her stuff archived. I'm just curious, with the stations and even the affiliates, the work that they're producing, has there ever been any talk of training, like, either the PDs or some essential figure at each of the stations on how to get equipment in the studios so that we could, like, I know that we just got a new air checker that we can just pull our audio from in the control room at KPFA. Has anyone talked to our PDs or operations directors about a streamlined way of archiving so that we're archiving these special broadcasts that we're doing in each of our
stations? No, because it's kind of a huge responsibility and a very difficult thing to cherry-pick or decide which programs come to the archives and which ones don't. Luckily, because of the digital world, we have all stations. I hear 3 of the 5 said that they're archiving their program on their website. It's not archiving, it's digital storage. I always reprimand people that every time. But it's okay, because it's there. Like, the good thing is that the audio is there. We can come and get it when we need it. And also, we're working to negotiate with PRSS. The Pacifica Archives did have KU Satellite uplink so that we could distribute materials as National Programming Unit. That's hopefully will qualify us for the receiver so that we can start archiving all five stations 24/7 in-house in the archive, so that we have a duplication of what you're doing on your websites and also the responsibility of what gets cherry-picked later for extensive preservation is in-house in the archive. So,
thank you.
Done it. All
right. Done.
Bravo! I'd like to extend so we can keep clapping.
It's got personal.
You don't have to touch it.
I hit that. Come on.